Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and I shall stand complete in thee.
Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin, which thou hast conquered reign within. Thy blood shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I will be, in thy right hand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
For the special this morning. Certainly, you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Boy, we're justified because of the pardon we have received, and God is not finished. Amen?
Amen.
And He's wanting to work in our lives. This morning, I'd like to invite you over the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20.
1 John chapter 5, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne this morning, once again thanking You for the privilege of assembling together as Your church. And then, Lord, again being reminded where two or three are gathered in Your name, there are You in the midst. May we never take that lightly. We thank You for Your presence. We do pray, Lord, for the filling of Your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from You. And then, Lord, that we might worship You in spirit and in truth, and that You would build the faith, Lord, that You've given to us, that You would shine Your light in and through our lives, that the world might see the difference that You make, and that souls might be saved, baptized and discipled for Your honor and glory. Bless Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches this morning, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "An Understanding That We May Know Him That Is True." An understanding, we find that there in verse 20, that we may know Him that is true, or simply a faith that functions. God has given to us a faith that should work. Amen. He doesn't give us faith just for the sake of giving us something that has no power in it. Not only does it have power in it, this faith that God has given to us, but it glorifies the Lord by changing our lives into His likeness. One of the things I want you to stop and think about here that we're going to take a look at here in just a moment is that the Apostle John is writing to believers, not non-believers. And he mentions a situation that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We can come before the Father and He'll forgive us for our sins. But he also talks about the believer not habitually walking in sin. Never once will we pick up that God is saying that, the believer loses their salvation. We know that's not true. Once we are saved, God holds us in his hands. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. That never changes. But God wants us to have a life that honors and glorifies him, but also is a blessing to us where we see the Lord working in our own personal lives. So this morning, what we're going to look at in essence is really the testimony of God in the life of the believer. There's a testimony that God gives the believer that they have been changed, right? That they have been transformed from this life to the new life that is in the Lord, from the old man to the new man. So this testimony or witness really in the believer moves from faith, from an objective type of a faith, which is factual, to the subjective, which is a personal experience that is undeniable. So fathom this thought. We have objective faith that is true, right? These are facts, but then it becomes personal. So for example, whether you're saved or not, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Redeemer of all humanity. Amen. Whether you're saved or not, isn't that true? That's the facts, right? The Bible that we hold in our hands is the Word of God. Whether people believe it or not, that is the facts. But now when you got saved, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and the Savior of the world became experiential, didn't it? So, you know, you've heard, and we can tell people that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and we can tell people that have heard that, and they can say, yes, I've heard that before, but they've never received the Lord personally. They have a limited understanding. They might even believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but if they're not saved, their experience with God is very limited, isn't it? But once they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, now they have an experience that God pardoned them of their sin. They've been born again, as the Bible says. All things are passed away, and behold, now they understand that there's a relationship that they personally have with the Lord that they did not have before. Is that the truth? So there is an objective faith that is factual, but then there's a subjective faith that brings it into the personal experience for the individual believer. We can look at it like this as well. Years ago, when I was a teenager, I'd never dream of doing this today. I was out of my head probably as a 17, 18-year-old. Me and a buddy of mine were talking about going skydiving. You can pay $90. This was back in the late 70s. You can pay $90 and you can have two jumps. You had two hours of instruction, and then the first jump was a tandem jump, and I'm not sure if the second was a tandem jump either. But let me ask you this. What kind of experience would you want your trainer to have that was training you and that was going? Would you want him to have just an objective faith where he knew all the facts, but he had never jumped before? I think I would want a trainer, especially if he was going to take me, you know, and then he said, hey, guess what? You're going to be my first jump and we're going to tandem together. I wouldn't do that, would you? So likewise also, God is wanting us to have something more than just the facts, and that's important, but he wants us to have the subjective experience that God gives to you and I as believers. So let's consider a couple of things this morning, three thoughts. An important reminder of who John is writing to, we'll look at that here in just a moment. Secondly, understanding the propitiation for our sins. And then the last thought is the witness in himself. So back up with me to chapter 1 here in the book of 1 John. And let's look at the first four verses and let's see who the Apostle John is speaking to this morning. We do know he's speaking to believers, but he's wanting to communicate to them something, an experience that he had that he wants us to have also. So notice this, if you will. Look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, he says, which we have heard, that's an experience, right? Notice, which we have seen with our eyes. That's more than factual, isn't it? They are involved in this, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And they're talking about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness, verse 2, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested or revealed unto us. Is he talking about an experience that he had? So it's going beyond the facts, right? Notice verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, listen, declare we, these believers, the apostles, people writing the word of God, unto you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship. Did you get that? With us. That you might have this intimate experience. See, it's one thing to hear the word of God. It's something different to believe on the word of God and allow the word of God to transform our lives. And we come into contact with God himself, don't we? He begins to work in our hearts. He changes us. He gives us his righteousness. He washes away our sins. And now all of a sudden we've entered into a different realm from just objective facts. We've moved into a subjective experience personally, right? We say, you know, we ask people, are you saved? And some of them say, yes, I've been saved. And what do you mean by that? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Are they saved? Oh, I've been baptized. Are they saved? They're saved when they say, oh, yes, I'm saved. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved me. He washed away my sins, right? Don't you like to hear that kind of a testimony? They had a personal experience with God himself in salvation, and that's what's important. And so the Lord is saying, not only after salvation, but notice that experience, those revelations. And by the way, listen, did the disciples, when they walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, weren't they continually getting revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ? Wasn't God continually revealing? Didn't they have some ideas of their own and God had to correct them and say, no, you don't have that right. This is the right way. And they get the aha moment and they say, oh yeah, okay, I understand that. I see that now, right? And so they were rejoicing in some things. Lord, listen, we've got all this kind of power. And the Lord said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen? In the book of life. So as we consider this, again, verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, listen to this, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So God is wanting you and I to have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. So when you fellowship with somebody, you get intimate with them. You get to know a little bit. See, you can know people from afar. You can know about people, but you don't really know them until you have a contact with them. Until you start to learn, right? You can know a famous person. Everybody can know a famous person. But if you were friends with them and you went out and did things with them and you ate with them and you did different things like that, then you know them on a different level, right? And so God is talking about bringing us into this fellowship with the Father. And notice this, verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And this joy does not come from the world. This joy is coming from the fellowship that we have with the Father as we submit ourselves and yield ourselves to the Lord and his righteousness. So we have, listen, faith comes by hearing, and you can finish it, right? And by what? By the word of God, right? And hearing by the word of God. So we yield to the word of God, and this is how we get into the fellowship with the Lord. That's his way. That's how we enter into this fellowship. That's how it started with salvation, and that's how it continues. We cannot look at the word of God and say, you know, Lord, I want a fellowship with you, but I'm not doing that. Are we going to meet with the Lord that way? Lord, listen, I see what you're saying, ready, but I can't do that. Well, here's the wonderful truth is God's not asking anything that we can do. He's asking for us to trust him to do those things in and through our life. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord, not of us. This new life comes from who? It doesn't come from us. The new life comes from God. So should we look to ourselves to fulfill this new life? We'll never make it. We will fail. And listen, God will see to it because he will give us his glory, but he won't share that and say, we won't be able to say, did you see the kind of life that I lived? Nobody is going to brag when they get to heaven and say, look, otherwise we'll be like that publican. Lord, the Pharisee, I'm glad I'm not like this publican. I mean, my goodness, I fast twice a week and I pray and I'm not an extortioner like him. And yet, what did the Lord say? The publican went away justified. Because he said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. that he wanted to walk right with the Lord. And he saw himself because he saw the Lord. And that Pharisee never saw himself, so he never saw God. All he could see was himself. And see, if we're not careful, we start to look to ourselves. And that's not what the Lord wants. So let's understand what God has given to us. So we know we've been forgiven. We know we have this right relationship with the Lord. And notice what he says here in verse 5. This then, of chapter 1, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So God, listen, remember this. The Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit, is wanting us to enter into this relationship with the Lord. And now here's the truth. We can't look to ourselves. Listen, if we claim to have eternal life, that is a complete work of God himself. And so likewise also is the life of Christ. You and I do not have the life of Christ. The life of Christ is in Christ that dwells within us. So we have to look to the Lord to fulfill his life in us. The Apostle John is saying that you might have the same fellowship and that your joy might be full. God wants us to have his joy and know that we have eternal life and walk in that truth even when the sun is not shining. Even when we're being tried and challenged, amen, by the world or by things that God allows into our life that he works out for our good. Every difficult trial ought to cause us to be more dependent on the Lord and say, Lord, I need you, because what's more important, the honor of God or my well-being? What's more important, the honor of God or my physical well-being? The honor of the Lord. Listen, the flesh doesn't like that. That's a spiritual truth that God has to reveal to us. And so, Lord, I'm trusting you that in this trial, every trial, God is actually doing? He's getting us into the position that he would allow us to die to self that he might live through us. There is no way that you and I can be happy in a trial without the power of God. Listen, did you get that? There is no way that we can truly honor God and have the joy of the Lord in the midst of a trial and difficulty if we're in our own strength. And here's the thing, if we can't say praise the Lord because he's in control and I can truly rest in the Lord. And by the way, if you read the book of 1 and 2 Peter, Peter of all people, remember him? Lord, you can't go to the cross. I'm paraphrasing, right? He is the one that talks about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. God gave him the privilege and understanding that suffering is the way to righteousness by the grace of God in us. Amen. So this is how God crucifies the flesh. See, oh Lord, I want to be a servant. And then God begins to work and we don't like it. I mean, listen, that's natural. I want you to know that. But once we understand it from God's perspective, then we have an opportunity to allow him to work. So do we really want the grace of God working in our lives? Because, listen, there is always, it's not just to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no crown except there comes a cross first. Isn't that the truth? So let's not be surprised as though some strange thing is happening to the believer, because every believer goes through trials. Did Daniel go through trials? Did Joseph go through trials? You've heard of the patience of Job. Amen. And so listen, did Abraham go through trials? Did Jacob go through trials? Did King David go through trials? My goodness, is there anybody that served the Lord that didn't go through trials? So we will go through it too. But the question is, how will we go through it? So notice verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship, remember this is the fellowship that is with the Father that he wants us to have with him. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what do? We're lying. We're lying. And we're not doing the truth. Doing the truth is an important thing. Don't be hearers of the word of God, but what? Doers of the word of God. See, is it possible for a saved child of God to be saved and not do the word of God? Oh my, absolutely. We cannot do the word of God. And by the way, the good news is that God is not wanting us to do it in our strength. Amen. Never, ever. So if we'll say, Lord, I need you, and we do, or we will fail miserably. And listen, this is experiencing revival, a changed life in our own personal lives. And if the glory of God is shining forth through our lives, do you think we might be able to influence the lost world to enjoy this fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ that brings joy? Do you remember what he said? Notice again in verse 3, that ye may also, in the middle there, have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And notice verse 4, and these things he says, we write we unto you that your joy may be what? He wants us to have full joy. And this joy is not based on situation or circumstance. That's the world. This joy comes from a working relationship with God in our lives. That begins at salvation, but goes beyond that. So, again, verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, if, that's a contingency, right? Yeah. That means you don't have to do that. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what does he say? We have fellowship one with another, with the Father and with the Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from some of our sins. Most of them. All of them. All of our sins. God takes away the desires and the things that are passing away. He's the one that changes. Listen, we cannot keep ourselves from sin. In fact, the truth is, we can't even submit ourselves to the Lord. We need God's help. And Lord, I need you to do that. I'm doing is as Romans 12 tells us, I am going to present myself before you a living sacrifice, God. You do the rest because I can't do it. And God doesn't expect us to. So again, he says, verse 7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we've all battled this, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, and by the way, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't misunderstand this. We battle with this, but the idea is that the life that is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ is not habitually walking in sin. We're having victory, right? Because we're not looking to ourselves by faith. Lord, and by the way, does God hear our prayers when we ask him to do his will in our lives? He does hear our prayers. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to glorify yourself in my life. I have no power. You have it all. And so I'm going to lean to you. So let's consider what God tells us here in chapter 4 and understand this idea of the propitiation for our sins. So chapter 4, and notice what it says here as we look what God has given to us. Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Isn't that the truth? And he sent his Son to be the propitiation or the appeasement, the payment for our sins. The Lord did that work. So he's the one that appeased himself, and all we did was trust in what he did for us. Is that not the truth? Lord, I'm not doing anything for you. How much have you done for me? Everything. Everything. I'm not doing anything for the Lord, and I need the Lord for him to do the things that he wants to do in my life. We want to, as a saved child of God, we have great gratitude for what God has given to us in eternal life. The truth is, and you know it, we've all experienced it, because we love the Lord, we try to do it in our own strength. And we will meet with failure every time and wonder why. And God says, I'm waiting for you to give up and then I can do the work. I'm waiting for you to yield yourself to me, and then I'll step in. Because this time, when I do it, you will praise the Lord. You will be brought into worship. You will see God doing things that we can't do for ourselves, all right? So let's move to the last thought here, and let's consider this witness in himself. And we're going to go to chapter 5, and let's look at verse 10 here of chapter 5. Notice what it says. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Did you see that? If you have, now that doesn't mean that it's automatic, But we have the potential, we do have this witness, that we profess that we have eternal life. And God gives us that confidence. And we have the confidence that there's nothing I can do to lose that. We've been born again, not by flesh and blood, but spiritually, right, by the Spirit of God. And we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now God wants to take us from being a babe in Christ to growing in the grace of God and not being an infant and not being able... Listen, you've heard this illustration before. My goodness, you know, when a baby is born, you put a bottle in their mouth, right? And you put diapers on them. But listen, if things are moving along right and they're grown up, and everything is functioning properly, at 10 years old, is there a bottle in their mouth and diapers on them? No, if there was, there'd be a problem. But here's the thing, listen, what we don't realize sometimes is that as a believer, we cannot grow in the grace of God and not experience the power of God, and we're still in diapers. We're still not, we're saved, we're still a child of God, but we're not walking by the power of God that honors and glorifies Him. So, notice again verse 10. He that believeth, in chapter 5, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. Now listen, in other words, he's saying that God gave His Son for redemption, but to change our lives. Remember the very beginning what he's talking about? That we might have a fellowship with the Lord and that our joy might be full. And if we don't have that fellowship with the Lord, keeping everything in context, and God's not changing our lives, that we're not believing the Lord in that. We're looking to ourselves. He's not talking to the lost world, is he? He's talking to believers, is he not? So let's not, oh, that's the law. No, he's talking to us. The lost person has no fellowship with God until they're saved. But so he's saying there's a problem in the life of the believer. Is it possible for a believer to want to glorify the Lord and end up doing it in their own strength and fail? Is that possible? This is why he's writing that. If we're failing, the problem is because we're not trusting in the Lord, we're looking to ourselves. With the best of intentions, it's still wrong. We can do it because we love the Lord, and if we're still looking to ourselves and not to the Lord, we're never going to have success. So, notice again in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. They're seeing it. They're seeing the witness of who? God. Not of our witness, but God's witness in us. He that believeth not God, in other words, what he said, hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Right. Think about that. Who do we have indwelling us? The Son of God. Through the Holy Spirit. You and I are indwelt. If you have the Son, just like the Son was in the Father, and the Father in the Son is in us and we're in Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Because if we don't have the Son in us, guess what? We don't belong to Him. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And God wants Him to be functioning in our lives, or we will fail. I mean, God wants us to succeed. He wants us to have good success. So, again, in verse 10, it says, hath made him a liar in the bottom, he that believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, he's not wasting his breath telling this to save people, because he's talking about more than salvation. Notice, these things have I written unto you that what? That believe. So he's not talking to the lost. So again, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, wait a minute. I thought you're saved already. I thought we believe already. Absolutely. But God is wanting to glorify himself and change us by his grace. He is wanting us to have the witness of who? Our witness or God's? That what? He's changed our life. So we won't have this mentality, well, I'm just saved by the grace of God, so it doesn't matter what I do. You know, there are people that believe that. There are people that live like that. Well, it's grace anyway, doesn't matter what I'm living for me. And, you know, I'll come to church maybe. I'll open up my Bible maybe. God says there's a problem with that. Because if the life of Christ is in us, he has given to us a new desire. And we have eternal life. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Where's the confidence come from? In him. In him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That sounds to me like answered prayer.
Yes.
So, don't answer this. Is God answering prayer in your life? What kind of prayer? Let's see. What do I want today? What do I want? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Well, the first thing that we ought to want is God's will to be carried out in our lives. Amen. By God's power. Because I can find you all kinds of scripture where God wants to do that in the life of the believer. But if we're not careful, let's see, we're praying for the material things. And it's not wrong to pray for those things. Unless we're neglecting the spiritual things. See, what should come first in our lives? What needs do you want to have met first? The physical or the spiritual needs as a believer? Spiritual. The spiritual things. Again, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, plural, that we desired of him. Look what he does. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, or is not continually, habitually walking in sin. If we're saved by the grace of God. Now, so God is not saying, don't get this wrong. God is not saying that you don't sin. But here's what God is saying. If you're walking in sin, and that is possible for a child of God to walk in sin, there is a problem. David was a man after God's own heart, was he not? And then he sinned with Bathsheba. Was there a problem? Absolutely, there was a big problem. And God went through the whole chain of events, and David made things right with God. Did David confess his sin? He was the guilty party, right? He sinned against the Lord. And then he cried out for the Lord to restore unto him the what? Joy of my salvation. Isn't that something? God wants us to have his joy. The joy of God's salvation. So he says all this is sin. And notice verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, listen to this, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. There's no way you and I can do that without the power of God. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We're different. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding.
Amen.
An understanding. Not just an objective understanding, but a subjective experience that he changed. Listen, did God change Peter's life, or did Peter change his own life? When Peter obeyed the Lord, who was working in Peter's life? When Peter and John walked, were going into the temple, and they saw the lame man there, and they said, "Rise up and walk," and he rose up and walked, right? "Such as I have, give I unto thee," right? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got up leaping and praising God, did he not? And then the people that saw him, they knew who that lame man was. And they were looking at Peter and John, and Peter said, "Why do you look on us as if by our own power And yet, today, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is operating in their own power. And then they wonder why we can't touch the people that are blind and lame, spiritually speaking, and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? I don't know about you, but I want to see souls saved. I would like to see them saved every day in my life that I could lead people to the Lord. I would like, but I have to ask the Lord to do that, that their lives might be transformed. Question, is it God's will? And so, don't answer this one. Are we fervently asking Him in a way that pleases Him? Are we saying, Lord, the first thing in the day, You're number one. I know I got to be at work at 5 in the morning. So I'm going to get up 10, 20, whatever. You decide. We're not putting anything on this. But I'm going to get up X amount of time before I have to get ready so that You're the first one I come into contact with. Because here's what I know, Lord. If You're not in me, working through me, I will fail You. So You're number one. I need You, Lord. And so, again, he says this, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And he says, amen, before anything that would take you or rob your heart away from the Lord. Listen, we can be involved with things that are not sinful, but have become idols. Has it become an idol? They're more important than me spending time with the Lord in every day. I just think as a child of God, I think, my goodness, eternal life, does that have a little bit of value to us? To where we would say, Lord, before I start my day, since everything in this world is not coming with us, and it's going to get burned up, I would dare say You're more important than anything in this earth. Is that not the case? So, Lord, my first priority is You. This is where revival comes from. You know, if we're not careful, we're careful to take care of all the responsibilities that we need to take care of and leave God out. And that puts the cart before the horse instead of the horse out in front. And that's not what the Lord wants. Don't we want to hear from the lips? You know where the well done comes from? You want to hear well done? I know you do. I do. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that from the lips of your Savior? Here's what it takes. Ready? I need You every day, God. Unless You do it, there is no well done. Unless You do it, there's no well done. Oh, I can do a lot of things. We can do a lot of things. But without Christ, we can do nothing that pleases God. And so God wants us to hear, don't you believe? Well done. He wants us to be a profitable servant. So this is the experience that God gives to us that He wants us to have. I want you to, you remember David Livingstone, the missionary to Africa in the 1800s? He was from Scotland, technically, right? But they called it England, the UK, the United Kingdom over there. And in the 1800s, he didn't just want to go on the coast. He wanted to go into the remote areas. You know that man gave 30 years of his life? Do you know that he got married and had children? And his children and his wife stayed with him until she was physically not able to. And she went back home with her children and he stayed there by himself. And you remember that they lost contact with him for 2 years. Remember Livingstone? I presume, right? Remember Stanley? When Henry M. Stanley found Livingstone, the great missionary who spent 30 years in a remote area in Africa and who had been lost to the world for over 2 years, he wanted him to come back home to England with him, but Livingstone refused to go. 2 days later, he wrote in his diary, this is what he wrote, listen. March 19th, my birthday, my Jesus, King, my life, my all. This is what he wrote in the morning. I again dedicate my whole self to thee. He'd been there for 30 years. Accept me and grant, O gracious Father, that ere the year is gone, I may finish my work. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. 1 year later, they found him on his knees in prayer, gone home with, to be with the Lord. Passed away. Right there. A year. It was said of him, he needs no epitaph to guard his name, which men shall prize while worthy work is known. He lived and died for good, be that his fame. Let marble crumble, this is a living stone. Aren't we living stones as well? Didn't God make us to be lively stones for his honor and glory? And if that's not the case, do you know what God has given us the privilege to say? God, I need you. Will he forbid any good thing from his children? And how much more the things that he wants us to have? So if we ask the Lord, Lord, I want you in my life. For your honor and glory, I want to see your power. I want to give myself wholeheartedly. Because one day, you know, we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. And isn't he worthy of what? Everything. Isn't he worthy of everything? Why? Let's give it to him now. You know why? Listen, why is he worthy of everything? Did he not give us everything? Did he hold anything back on us? And he's worthy. And do you know, if we'll give God our heart, we'll have revival. That's what revival is. Don't you believe that? If God has our heart. Would you stand? Again, the invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy, your grace, and the reminder, Lord, of what you've given to us. May we not take that for granted. May we value it, Lord, as you see it. And Lord, as you have revealed it to us the first day we got saved, what a price, a prize beyond price, Lord, we could never repay. Open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. May you be honored and glorified, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.